Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good Sunday morning to you. This is Pastor Janet Fears. I don't usually get on and do a broadcast, but I'm doing this today. It's a part of my writing and everything, but I'm also a pastor, so you'll have to see different things on my Christian writer's world here. I'll be talking about books and writing and all, but my heart is as a pastor. And I was reading Isaiah today, Isaiah 55, God's promises to all. And it just hit my heart so much that I have to share this with you. You know, in this world, everything that you get or want, you have to pay for. And some people can't pay for it. And that's why it's so important to realize that everything that God has given to us through Jesus Christ has been already paid for. But the evil one doesn't want us to know that. He doesn't want us to know anything about God's promises to us so that we can't claim them, because you have to claim them, and they're all claimed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, accept him before you can even receive any of the promises. So, of course, the evil one is going to try to keep you from, listening to the word. Before I go any further, let me say, if you want to call in, the host call in is, the guest call in is area code 515-605-9881. That's 515-605-9881. Anyway, I was reading this and it just touched my heart. So many people in this world are lost. You know, I read a book once called Mr. God, This is Anna. I don't know if any of you've ever read it, but she was a little girl. And eventually, you know, she didn't live very long, but she eventually died. But she talked about every person having a hole in their middle that they couldn't fill. No matter what they did, if they got riches, cars, fame, wealth, that hole in the middle, when they laid down at night, that hole was not filled. Nothing satisfied that hole, because God made that hole that only he could fill. I thought that was so beautiful. But I want to read you from Isaiah chapter 55. God's promises to all. Now, this is so beautiful. If you don't know what God is offering you, it's a call, a welcome call. And that means for all, regardless of race, creed, color, he's opening it to everybody. Now, when it first started, it was just to Israel. But when Israel fell by the wayside because of idolatry and a lot of things happened there, he opened it up to the Gentiles. And that's why salvation is for the entire world. Jesus died. He came to to the nation of Israel, and they didn't accept him. But he died for everyone, not just Jewish people. He died for everyone. And that's, it was the pride that caused a lot of problems. And it still causes problems in the world. Man is very prideful. Like, man will think that God can accept what he's done. But he can't accept what somebody else has done, and he gets upset with God when God accepts somebody else, when they truly repent and are forgiven. If God can forgive us, he can also forgive them. But anyway, I want to read this and let you see that God has opened salvation to everybody. It says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come you to the waters. And he who has no money, come you, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine, milk without money, and without price." Salvation cost God the price. He sent his son. That's where the price, Jesus paid the price for all of us. But now we don't have to pay it. When we confess Christ and take him into our heart and he forgives us, our sins is just like we never did it. But let me go on. Now, with chapter 53 proclaiming the great price that was paid at Calvary by Jesus, and chapter 54 in Isaiah proclaiming the coming grand and glorious kingdom age, now the inhabitants of the entirety of the world are invited to come and partake of the one who guarantees entrance into the kingdom. Now, I just have to say it from the passage. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to come to the Father but through him. Now, in the world, it says, there are many ways. That's not what God said. He said there's only one way. The world, see, Satan has used those many ways to say, well, that's just one way to get to heaven. No. If there hadn't been more than one way, God would have said it. He would have sent more people. He sent his son, his precious, holy son, to this earth to die for us. He's the only way. And if you can't accept that only way, then that's a choice. God gives you power of choice. Now, remember that. He gives you power of choice. So if you say, well, God knew I wasn't going to choose me in the beginning, he could have changed my mind. No, a free will means you think and do what you want. God gives you a conscience, and he'll speak to your conscience about certain things. But if you're stubborn and won't listen, well, what can I say? Okay. Three times in this one passage, the word come is used. It corresponds to Revelation 22:17. It is used three times there as well. The triple invitation corresponds to the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All are participants in the great salvation plan. The four articles of purchase are outlined in verse 1 and 2, water, bread, wine, and milk. Such expresses a plenitude of grace of salvation as exhibited in the four Gospels. The word buy is used, and yet the purchase price is not money. Where is it so much, most could have never obtained the treasure. Okay, if we had to pay for salvation, only the rich would have it, or the affluent, or the people that headed countries and states. They would forget about the little person. And that's what caused a lot of trouble in the world today. The people don't want God to accept everybody. They want to say only certain people are worthy to go. If it was up to man, he'd only let people say that he cared about. See, that's where we miss it. God said, Jesus said, love thy brother as you love yourself. If you want salvation, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for your neighbor, and it's good enough for that other person in another country, good enough for another person of another race, creed, or color. That's what you have to remember. God is not a respecter of persons. We are. God doesn't respect people. He doesn't look at the color of the skin or if that person is homeless on the street. God values that person who's homeless, that may have no food, no water, nothing to eat, raggedy clothes to wear, as much as that rich man that's living in that castle. You see, he makes no distinction. We make the distinction, and that's where we've got to change. Anyway, let me go. Okay, therefore, the price is not money. Okay, because like I said, man, so many would not be able to do it. Then the phrase is said, eat. Men must partake of Christ before they can become a part of Christ, which can only be done by faith in Christ and what has been done at the cross. See, many people want the prize, but they want Christ, but they want it on their terms. They want to say, okay, I've done this, I've done that, I'm good enough. That person's not. Do you remember in the Bible where Jesus was with his disciples and they were in the treasury and the lady was putting in, and people were putting in money, and the rich man put in a whole bunch of money, and he said, oh, I'm so good, you know, I've never done this, I've never done that, and I give this. And Jesus watched it. And then came a poor lady. She only had like a penny. And she put in that penny. And Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, she has given more than that rich man, because she gave out of her want. See, he had a whole bunch. He gave, you know, trying to, you know, get favor with God, saying, I'm giving all this. So I should have a favor. If I need anything, you should do for me, because I'm giving this whole bunch of money. Some people think like that. Some people do. They think like that. If I do this, if I help somebody, then God owes me a favor. No, God doesn't owe us anything. God owes us nothing. We owe him. Everything that we have done in this life, we owe to God. We get up in the morning, we owe our breath to God. We owe the strength in our body, our eyes that see, ears that hear, legs that walk. Everything, we owe everything to God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go on. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. So many people make all this money. They have homes, cars. They can go into finest restaurants, travel all over the world, have yachts and everything. And so many of them lay down at night, and they're not satisfied. And they don't understand why. Because anything you make, they, in a sense, they've made that they're God. They can, you know, they've got all this stuff, and it's become a God to them. You know, there's nothing wrong with wealth and money, but it's when you let that wealth and money have you, and when you put that on a pedestal above God, then you're in a lot of trouble. And that's why so many are not satisfied. So he says, hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and lay your soul's delight in his fatness. Now, accepting the Spirit's invitation through the prophets will satisfy fully. As someone has well said, the soul of man is so big that only God can fill it up. That's right. So many people, I mean, we have psychiatrists, and they all have different names for different things. You know, they say it's a psychopath, they're bipolar, they're, you know, this, but they'll never come down to call it what it is, which is sin. There's sin, this world is caught up in sin. And because of the sin in the world and the choices that we have made, that's where we are at today. The world is suffering because of sin. They don't acknowledge God. They make their own rules. And they just think, I mean, sure, God is a good God. And so there are some churches that preach that, you know, God is so good, he's going to forgive everything you've ever done. So don't worry about it. Just go on with your life. And when you do something bad, you know, just you know, say, oh, God, I'm sorry. But that's not repentance. Repentance is when you change. When you make a change, you look at yourself. There's a song Michael Jackson said, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to make a change. No message could be any clearer. If you want the world to be a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. And that is so true. You have to make a change in your life. That's repentance. Not just going and saying I'm sorry and then go right back out and do the same thing again, because you said, well, I can ask God to forgive me. He forgive me once, he'll forgive me another time. Hey, you may not have that second chance. If you're not sincere from your heart, you're in a lot of trouble. Okay? Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now, incline your ear refers to the word given by Christ when he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, some people have ears to hear, but they just don't want to. It's what you call a willful deafness. They're going to do what they want. And yet many people were in the crowd when Jesus was preaching, when he started his ministry. Many people were there. Some believed and some didn't. They all heard, but not everybody accepted it. See, and that's with salvation. Many people in the world know about Jesus, but they just, he's just one of the ways, you know, like, well, I'm of this religion, I'm of that religion, and it doesn't really matter because we're all going to the same place. No, you're not. I'm sorry to tell you that, but you're not going to the same place. If you're not accepting Jesus as your Savior and asking him to forgive your sins and believing what he has done, that's the only hope for you. And there is no salvation after the grave. There is none. If you don't get it on salvation on this side of the grave, you're in trouble. And stop and think about that. A lot of people, I heard one lady say she was going to hell and she didn't care. I thought to myself, do you know what hell is? It was a place made for the devil and his angel, and it's eternal burning. It's a terrible place. Why do you think Satan's not there? He's walking the earth because he knows eventually that's where he's going to be. And he wants to take as many with him as he can to hurt the Lord. He's a deceiver. You know, a devil doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns, you know, No, he can come in the finest suit, the nicest dressed lady. He's a deceiver. That's why they call him the angel of light, because he can deceive people. He can change to be, and you would never think that's Satan. Some people say they're not even a Satan. Well, who do you think is telling you that? Stop and think. Who do you think is telling you that he doesn't exist? He's telling you that he doesn't exist, so that you will live your life against God and do your own thing and in the end be lost. You don't want to do that. Okay. Anyway, the everlasting covenant refers to the new covenant, the David covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, that made to bring salvation to man. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Now, who is given for a witness to the people but Jesus Christ? He's the leader and the commander to the people. And that's what he's going to be. If you don't accept him now, one day, whether you want to believe it or not, everybody's got their own mind to do what they want to do. God gives us that. One day, God has even said, every knee, that means yours too, mine, the next person, every knee is going to bow and worship him. And one day people are going to see him and they're going to believe when they see. But don't get, you know, do you remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Thomas didn't believe. He said, unless I see him with my own eyes and put my hand in the where they put this, you know, in his side and see, I won't believe. And when Jesus came, he said, Thomas was crying because he believed. He said, you believe, Thomas, because you see me. He said, but blessed are those who have never seen me and yet believe. So you can see a miracle. Many people are in the crowd when miracles happen. They were around Jesus when he did the miracle, straightening the withered lady's hand, and you know, and making the blind man see, you know, and healing the leper. And instead of them marveling at the miracles that Jesus did, they were discussing among themselves, who does he think he is? Who does he? They were talking about him, and the miracle right in the midst, seeing the miracle, and missing all that it was about. But one day they won't have to miss it. They'll see it and they'll remember. See, so don't be like that. Don't be like that. Okay, serves to Christ. He alone is a witness to the people. He came to bear witness of the truth. As well, he is the leader and commander to the people. He leads and feeds the people. He is commander and under whose banner we serve. All Christians, we serve the Lord, and we have a beautiful Lord to serve. He's kind, merciful, gentle, but he's also God of judgment. You don't want to fall into the hands of the living God and not know him. That, you know, many people, and in at the end of their life, when judgment day comes, they will stand before God and say, but I did this for you. I gave this money. I helped this organization. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I know you're not. So just, you don't want, if you love the Lord, you're naturally going to want to do good things, but you don't want to go by works because works will never get you there. We can never do enough works because we were sinners. There never is anything good. God accepts us through Jesus Christ because Jesus took all of our sins in his body to the cross, and he said, God put it on him what should have been on me. I should have been on that cross. You should have been on that cross. And we have to remember that. There's nothing we could ever, there's no work we could ever do that would be good enough. That's why God had to send Jesus. All the killing of the bulls and the rams and the sheep and all the blood and everything didn't cover it. He had to keep doing it. Can you imagine how that camp must have run full of blood? It had to run full of blood because they were always sacrificing because they were always sinning. And they had to, and even the priests that were doing it, they had to confess their sins too. But see, when he sent Jesus, he was the final sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. He was God's precious son who agreed to come to earth and take all humanity's sins upon his body and to die so that he could open the door, part the petitions for us to become to God. And when that happened, anyone who accepts him, God accepts. The word people in the Hebrew is actually peoples and rather refers to the entirety of mankind, at least for those who will believe in him. Now, it's a shame. I was just thinking, you know, for all who will believe. Now, God's made it plain that is open, salvation is open to everybody. Stop and think. If you're a homeless person and somebody sits food in front of you and you look at that food and because it's not, you know, it's not what you want. You wanted something totally different. So you're going to sit there and starve because it's not in the form that you want. So many people do that. So many other religions do that because they don't want to accept Jesus. Some see him as a good prophet. Some see him as a good man. And others, you know, just don't think anything about him at all. But God has said it that way. God has said, this is the only way to me. This is the door has been opened. Now I'm offering salvation to you if you will accept my son, repent of your sins, and change and be born again. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ. I've heard of people that have been drug addicts. And have been saved, and God took the desire for drugs away from them. And then totally life changed, and the people that they were associated with wanted to know what happened. What happened to you? And then when it was told what happened to him, they didn't believe it. But it didn't matter if they didn't believe it. The person that it happened to believed it. So see, like I said, if somebody, you know, why would you want to be on a desert island and water is right in front of you and it doesn't come in the container that you like? And so you just mess it up. That's the way something to do with salvation. And it's very sad to die like that without the Lord. I mean, you know, sure, God can save you the last minute of your life, but why wait? Why take that chance? I think about the rich man in the Bible who had so much, and he said, now what shall I do? Well, I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build new barns and start over and gather more stuff. And the Lord told him, he said, thou fool, tonight thy life shall be required of you. So you don't think about what's in the future. We have to live each day because we don't know what tomorrow brings. God holds tomorrow, but we don't know if we'll be there. You don't know if you'll be there tomorrow. So you got to think about that. You got to think about the now, not just eating and enjoying and having fun. That's what they were doing in Noah's time before the flood came. He preached for 300 years. Can you believe that? 300 years. God gave them that much time, and they still didn't turn around. And then when they wanted to get on the boat, it said God had closed the door. It said God called Noah and them in. He closed the door. Noah didn't close the door because I imagine Noah thought about he could hear the kids screaming and yelling and everything, and he felt bad. He probably wanted to open the door. I know I would have, you know, bring the little kids in. God knew that they were not going to change. They refused 300 years to repent. So don't be like that. Okay? Repent. Sinners told to seek the Lord. Now, God is telling the sinners of the world to turn around while there's still time. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name while he is near. Now, the entirety of this verse is given to the Holy Spirit as rather a tone of reproach. Israel, as well as all, must seek the Lord without delay, or the important opportunity will be lost. Therefore, the admonition in this verse is one of warning, claiming to us the fact that they can come while the Lord is giving them time. Well, there will come a time when the Lord will not be found. In the last days, some people won't be able to find the Lord. If you read Revelation, it said, you know, many were hiding, wanting the rocks to fall down on them so they could die, and it didn't happen. You know, you don't want to be like that. You don't want to be stuck. He says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, a general promise of forgiveness of sin upon repentance and amendment of life was implied by the Lord from the very beginning in Genesis 4:4, but was naturally given to Israel through Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14. The doctrine is largely preached by the prophet, but is nowhere or distinctly and emphatically laid down as in this place. God's will is to multiply pardon if man will only turn to him. Now, who knows? Do you know anybody like that? Do you know anybody that you can do all kind of wrong? That's why the world gets upset. Sometimes people in prison, you know, they change and get saved and give their life to the Lord, but they still end up going to the electric chair, crimes they committed. That's one thing. David repented. You got to remember, when you commit crime, there's a fallback. You know, David, you know, it's like a snowball. It builds and builds, but eventually comes the time you have to pay. And some people actually get upset because that person repented, and their anger, it makes them mad because they wanted them to die, you know, terrible death. Well, you know, dying in an electric chair or gas and whatever, that they're all terrible deaths, or lethal injection, all that's bad. But it hurts them that the person may lay there and just die. They may not struggle with it. Now, some that don't know the Lord, and I've seen some of that too, they struggle. They fight it to the end. And some, you know, just say, I know when I close my eyes, I know where I'm going to wake up, because they got saved. And the world gets mad when somebody gets saved sometimes. That's you know, so awful, you know, so awful. But I just wanted that Isaiah really hit me about salvation is open to all. There's no way that you cannot receive salvation if you want it. But the devil has fooled the world. He has made man think that This cannot be possible. He, in a sense, he's saying it's all too good to be true. You know, and like that saying says, if it sounds too good to be true, it usually isn't true. But this is true. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He died for the world. Everyone you look at, when you pass on the street, I don't care if they're homeless, sitting in dirt. Just remember, in God's eye, you're no better than that person. You're no better than that person. So always remember that. Everybody like you want to be treated. But remember, preach the gospel. Tell people about God, because time is short, very short. And if they don't get saved on this side of the grave, there is no hope afterwards. So I just wanted to really push this. Salvation is open to all. Why would, if somebody's giving you a gift, and salvation is a gift, forgiveness for all your sins, everything that you've ever done, think about it. There's things that you've done that nobody knows, but God knows. Imagine having your slate wiped clean when you accept Jesus Christ and ask him, Jesus, will you please forgive me of my sins? I'm so sorry for what I did. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. You took my sins, my sicknesses, and I ask you to come into my life. And I thank you. I believe you have, because you said in your word that you would. And you walk away from there a free man. Your sins are forgiven. God has cast him as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. So that's what I want you to think about this Sunday. God's word for the world is salvation for all. You don't have to have money. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. It's a free gift. Accept that free gift today. Accept it in Jesus' name. Well, if anybody would like to call, you know, like I said, line is open, 515-605-9881. But if not, I just want you to know how much God loves you. He's a good God. He has performed miracles in my life for me. And, you know, as a pastor, you know, I almost died one time of a sickness, and God healed me of that. I lost 50 pounds in 1 week. God's a healing God. And it took me, sometimes healing is quick, sometimes healing is slow. But I remember what my mother told me. She said, God's word is never slack. He'll do what he says he's going to do. And I gained, you know, my weight back in a period of like 3 months. And then I also, you know, developed diabetes. And I, you know, it's just a lot of things. And I knew that God was with me, because there's no way I could have made it in this life without Jesus. So don't miss him. I can't see anyone ever wanting to miss the Lord. He's so kind, merciful, and gracious. But one day, right now, he wants to be your Savior. Accept him now, because next time, if you don't accept him, he'll be your judge. Remember that. Accept him as your Savior now, so he won't be your judge later. I love you guys. This is Pastor Janet Fears of Grace and Glory Ministry. So just wanted to give this word out. God bless you all. Bye-bye now.